You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Play in Alberta, everything stays in Alberta. Revenues from Play Alberta stay in the province. You can help get the Henday bill.
TSN. Shocker, did you get all your hairdresser stuff? We're glad to hear that the your blow dryer, everything's figured out. So that's good to hear. And we heard that. That's why you and Tommy had to switch spots here. You had like a hair dryer issue incident or something. And
All right. In case you didn't know, there was Oiler news today. I work for a sports news outlet and had to execute some content for our flagship show, SportsCenter. So your radio program got put on the back burner. Nothing to do with my hair, pal.
Let's say you have your sources, we have ours, okay?
Hey, I got a Cooper XL7 story, by the way.
Yeah.
So it was the one with all of the, like, when you look at it, it has all the, like, the rivets across the top, right? Like,
yes,
it looks,
yeah.
Like it's got, like, gills.
Yes.
It's an ugly helmet.
Yeah, it's not the prettiest.
Cool,
comfortable, though.
What was the cool one that came out right after? Like the Messier, the... You know, with the sides.
Well, Messier had a Winwell, but that was out before.
Now,
right?
What was the one? Maybe it was still Cooper, but there was a next generation that everybody had, and it was like the cool helmet, and the XL7 became kind of the old crappy one. But I kept the XL7, and I played with it for a number of years until one day I came into my locker room, and my teammates had taken it out of my bag and taped it to the ceiling. Because I was the only one on our AAA rep team that had the old school XL7 while everybody else had the nice new matching ones. And so they taped it to the ceiling, which we all had a good laugh. And then I begged my parents and finally got my shiny new helmet.
The XL7, though, but it was ultra comfortable, and it was so comfortable.
Oh. And I have a giant head. Comfort, like, that was important for me. Those other ones, they didn't, because they immediately started pushing on the sides and back of my head, because they didn't, let's just say they weren't fit for guys like me.
Did you have to cut out some of the padding to make it fit?
Maybe. Never mind. We don't need to talk about that. We don't need to get into that.
Oh gosh. Oh, so funny. Obviously, a brutal incident last night involving Evander Kane, and obviously very scary. You saw Kane's reaction. Once he saw the blood, he's like, oh, my goodness. And good for him, like, to react that quickly, sprints off the ice, and then the medical people did their job, what they're paid for, and they did it fantastically well. And now he's out 3 to 4 months. Now, people have been asking, Mikheyev had a similar injury to this. He was out 3 months, came back, and, you know, ended up having a career year. So, you know, hopefully, you know, this means that Evander Kane can get back and be the same player he is. But in the meantime, Shogar, that's a massive hole to fill. I actually had a story ready to go. I'd had quotes from Holland and Hyman and Kane talking about this is the first time since Guerin and Smith that I felt the Oilers had two, you know, physical, dominant, scoring, hardworking wingers at the same time. And now obviously Kane's out for 3 months. Like there's nobody that can replace him straight up. But which two wingers do you feel most confident can ease the pain of losing Evander Kane?
Well, like all eyes shift right now to Yamamoto and Puljujarvi, to me, because these are two guys that both want to be top six NHL wingers. They both probably feel that they are. They've been given opportunities to be and have taken turns running with the ball, and they've taken turns fumbling the ball and stumbling all over it and falling flat on their faces. Both of them have. So to me, this is now an opportunity for both of them to prove that they are top six wingers, because if somebody other than Yamamoto and Puljujarvi is in the top six than them, then they've dropped the ball again. They are so obviously the next two guys that need to step into this spot and this opportunity and grab this thing. So to me, this is a test for those two specifically to see if they can be what they want to be, what they, you know, think they are, and frankly, what the team needs them to turn into.
So for tomorrow, would you just put Yamamoto and Puljujarvi as the two right wingers and Nugent Hopkins and Hyman as the left wingers?
Yep. Just go with your clear top six. You challenge Holloway with a spot on the left wing with McLeod and Fogle on a third line. And then you figure out what you want to do with your fourth line. So this, when somebody like this gets hurt, you give people an opportunity to come through for their team. You present people with an opportunity the way it's supposed to work. Dylan Holloway, a left winger, just got hurt. Guess what? You're on the third line. Do something with it. Make it count. Kyler Yamamoto, you've been up and down and all over the place. We believe in you as a top six winger. Get in there and do it. Puljujarvi, your game has been getting better. We need you in that spot. Get in there and do it. You got to give these players the opportunity to come through for their teammates, given these new circumstances. And I think that's the right message to send by firing those two into the top six. Puljujarvi was already there for the most part, and elevating Holloway.
Yeah, I could see that for sure. I do wonder, the McLeod-Fogel-Yamamoto line was really good. Now, I know it's only one game, but it's really kind of the only game they played together. And I wonder if he keeps them and just says, you know what, Holloway, we'll try you with Drysdale and Hyman to see. You know, I understand the risk is if you don't have success there, now you're demoting him right away. So I totally get that. But I just wonder after the way that third line played yesterday, if maybe he considers it. But obviously starting Holloway in the third line, I don't think anyone would argue and say, oh, I can't believe he's doing that, right? Either way, Holloway's got to get some more minutes here soon. Otherwise, you know, let's send him to the minors, because he's just, like, his confidence, you watch him now, like, he's just not making a lot of plays with the puck because he's not on the ice often enough to feel comfortable enough to try and make some plays.
And probably the giveaway. Yeah, for sure. And I totally take your point about keeping that line together, because there were some good early returns. But I do think, you know, in a situation with Holloway, I think the next spot they put him into needs to be one he has a chance to succeed from and not fail big. I think he needs a chance here to succeed small rather than fail big, because the confidence issues, I think, are starting to work into it. The ice time hasn't been there. They're on the road. The quality of competition will be through the roof if he has to play with those guys. I'm not saying he can't handle it. I'm not sure it's going to work. I think he can handle third-line minutes playing on an energy line with almost no pressure to contribute offensively. Fogel, McLeod, and Holloway, skate fast, finish your checks, try and be on the positive side of the shot attempt ledger, defend well. Success for that line is entirely different than if you put him next to Leon Draisaitl. And I think Holloway needs to start putting some wins up on the board, because he hasn't had many this year. And a third line win is much more likely to be come by.
Yeah, that's fair. That is that's totally fair. The Edmonton Oilers penalty kill, which had been awful basically all season long, and basically, you know, maybe hit rock bottom against Washington's, you know, albeit they're kind of their second unit.
I would
think so. Last night, man, they were aggressive right from the get-go, like really pressuring the puck. And Tampa Bay, who's got a pretty good power play, like they had a few good chances, Shager, but not nearly as many gifted quality chances. It was a much better effort from the penalty kill. It looked like they finally were like, geez, we got to be better here.
Well, what can you change strategy-wise, right? You either rework the whole system and change it all around, or it's more a philosophy. And the philosophy change was take away time and space. You can either play like an active kind of penalty kill where guys charge the puck carrier and force them to make plays, or you can play more passive and try and control where they can and can't put it by playing more passive. And they've been reasonably passive. Last night they were charging the puck carrier, especially at the point. And so that aggressiveness worked. But I think there's a reason it worked. I want to give the Oilers credit. Their penalty kill was good. But, Gregs, can we just be real about the gift they were given from Tampa Bay early on in that game? Like, well, not early, because Tampa came out and played really well. But in that power play, that was a horrendous power play from Tampa. They were lackadaisical. They were silly with the puck. They were making goofy plays with it. They weren't being hard or firm. They were sloppy, and so an Oiler penalty kill that needed confidence, they in one crappy power play, they injected life into the Oiler penalty kill, confidence into the group, got Warren Fogel off the schneid in one. I mean, that was an awful power play early from Tampa, and it was a gift for the Oilers, who'd been backing their way into that game.
Yeah, they also switched up their units, right?
Yep.
They put Nurse with Bouchard and CeCe with Kulak on the blue line.
They had McDavid and Fogel go too, didn't they?
A little bit, but the most used, they had, on the penalty kill amongst forwards, Zach Hyman was the most used, but then it was Yamamoto, right? It was Yamamoto and Hyman. Nugent Hopkins was the one who wasn't on as often. He was only on for $1.34. McDavid was more than him. Ryan McLeod was more than him. Kyler Yamamoto was more than him. So to me, that was that was the one change that I felt was rather noticeable. They basically just went with McLeod, Yamamoto, as Hyman as their top three guys, and then split Fogle and McDavid as 4 or 5.
Yeah, and Nugent Hopkins is one of the ones who'd been seamed a little bit here recently, a few times. So, yeah, you know, listen, I think they're at the point now where when a season starts, I think certain players get a certain amount of time to find their games and to sort themselves out, right? We see it with a starting goalie. He's going to get some time. If he doesn't have the best starts in the first 5, 6 games, whatever, you let them grow. You know, other players, veteran defensemen, veteran forwards, they get they get benefit of the doubt positioning in the lineup, benefit of the doubt ice time, while everybody works their way in. Well, that grace period is gone. And it took a 3-game losing streak for this team to get punched in the face in a way where it was like, okay, if Darnell Nurse isn't the best guy to have on the ice in the last minute, then don't have him on the ice. Doesn't matter if he'll be pissed. It doesn't matter. What matters is getting that 2 points. And I think at a certain point, you graduate into a team that has high expectations moment to moment, and it doesn't matter who meets them and who doesn't. The results will be the same. So if you play well, you get to go play. If you're having an off night, doesn't matter who you are, you don't get to go out in certain moments. And Darnell Nurse being on the bench like he was late in that game last night because someone else was having a good night, I think it made some sense.
Yeah, he still played the most minutes of their team, right?
Yep, for sure.
Right,
but
so,
they had Kulak out there for some real critical minutes late.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? Hey, I don't have an issue with that. If I always like to look at the shift chart to see if guys were out for a long time prior.
There were a few things too that got in the way of making changes. But there was an effort to have Kulak out there, I would say. I was watching it, and I'm not saying that Nurse was being benched or anything like that. It's situational. You can only have one left shot guy out there at a time, and in that moment, they decided to go with Kulak, and that's no big deal.
Well, they went Kulak and Cece, right? Because they put him as a pair, right? They switched, and I think they just stuck with that pair.
Yep.
So, yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see what they do against Carolina tomorrow. Well, obviously a very deep team, and Carolina currently playing Florida. So I'm sure the Oilers are watching that game. Maybe not the players, but the coaches, as that's the two next teams they play Thursday and Saturday. Shogger, have a good one.
See you, pal.